Now, normally I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to follow along with the text to be expounded. For many of you, this will not be necessary because many of you have memorized the 23rd Psalm. Well, my aim for us this morning is for us to walk through this very familiar psalm and to make it our own. You see, what King David describes as his experience with God, it's an experience that's not unique to David. What is described in the 23rd Psalm and what God's people can expect to experience is found in this psalm. To put it simply, those who are in Christ, those who name Christ, those who follow Christ, have the same good shepherd as King David. What is this shepherd like? How will our relationship with this shepherd be marked? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David had determined that the Lord consistently provided all that he really needed. The Apostle Paul declares something similar when he tells the Christians in Philippi, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." This is to say that God's people will never be destitute of that which we need the most. This is important because we lack things, don't we? I think we could all make a list of things we do not possess, things we do not have. But as I understand this scripture, this principle holds true, that God's people will never be lacking. They'll never be destitute of what they really need, what they need the most. David goes on, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, it's my understanding, you know I'm not a sheep expert, but in preparation for these things, I do a fair amount of reading, and it's my understanding that sheep do not lie down easily. Sheep do not lie down easily. You see, they are too nervous. Sheep are anxious, and when an animal is anxious, when an animal is unsettled, they will not lie down. And here David likens ourselves to being like sheep. That when we are unsettled, when we are nervous, when we are anxious, we will not lie down. We too, like sheep, need a particular environment. We need a particular environment to allay our anxieties and to quell our fears. Well, I got to visit a place that allays my anxieties and quells my fears. For me, that place is my lakeside cabin in Canada. It is a cabin between Ottawa and Toronto, Ontario, and we affectionately refer to this cabin as the cuckoo's nest. The cuckoo's nest. And if you know Allie or myself at all, you would say that it is aptly named. I won't speak for Anya, just for Allie and I. Now, my cabin in the woods by the lake, it's actually quite an unspectacular kind of place. It's a very simple, A-framed wooden structure. There's nothing opulent or fancy about it at all. It's perched above a very quiet lake where most of the transportation is canoes and kayaks. It's in the middle of nowhere. But for the last 13 years, the cuckoo's nest, my cabin, this has been the place where my anxious soul goes to lie down. This is the place where I go and I seek the quiet accompaniment and friendship with the Lord. This has been the place where my good shepherd, The Lord Jesus Christ has consistently refreshed me. I want you to each consider for yourself this morning. Where are your green pastures? Where are your still waters? What environment or environments has the Lord provided for you, for your anxious soul to lie down? Now, if you're looking at the passage, you'll see that verse 3 begins with the declaration, "He restoreth my soul." But as I read the whole psalm in context, the sense I get is that the statement in verse 3 more closely connects to the promises in verse 2. What do I mean? The green pastures and the still waters are provided in order that you may have rest and refreshment and restoration for your soul. If you are feeling at all anxious, if you are feeling a bit unsettled, I urge you to get close, to live in close proximity to the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd aims to give you rest. He has designs to restore your soul. Is your soul troubled this morning? As you came here this morning, I don't know what circumstances are going on in your life. I don't know what the car ride in was like. Some of us have just trouble finding a parking spot in there. I don't know what state you are in when you came here this morning. But I know the state the Lord wants you to leave in. He wants to give you refreshment for your soul. He wants to restore you to a close proximity to the Good Shepherd. And as the psalm continues, you see that there is much more to life than simply being free from aggravation. There's more to life than just experiencing rest. We note in verse 3 that the Lord our Good Shepherd is purposefully and purposely leading us somewhere. We see that there is a destination He has in mind for us, and there's a particular road to that destination. David declares, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." There's a particular path that you and I are supposed to walk. It's not make up your own road. It's not that there are many ways to the top of the same mountain. No, there's a particular path to a particular destination. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But the problem is sheep like to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above. Sheep are prone to wander, and they get into trouble when they wander. Sheep make themselves vulnerable to predators, and sometimes they unwittingly wander away from where food and water can be found. For this reason, sheep need to be led. Sheep need to be led. Sheep need a shepherd who will keep them in close proximity to water. A shepherd that will lead them to safe areas to graze. Maybe I shouldn't speak for all of us, but isn't this a fitting description of our own relationship with God? I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Are you? Are you prone to wander? We need to be led. We need the Good Shepherd to lead us and to hedge us in and to protect us and to feed us. It's possible you have missed out. It's possible that you've missed out on some of the provisions of the Good Shepherd because either unwittingly or intentionally you have wandered off the path of righteousness. God has set out a way for you to go. He has set before you the narrow path, and some of you have wandered off track. But even if you have, you need not despair. Speaking as one who has often strayed from the right path, it's my privilege to be able to say to you this morning, it is the desire of the Good Shepherd to bring you back to where you belong. If you belong to Him, if you are a sheep in His fold, you will never be able to get away from Him. You will not escape His reach. As our hymn well puts it, "Perverse and foolish off I strayed, but yet in love He sought me, and on His shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me." The bad news is that when we wander from the righteous path, we are not inclined to return to it. We wander from the righteous path and we are not inclined naturally to return to it. But thankfully, the Bible assures us that God goes and gets us. He leaves the 99 and He goes after the one that is lost. He gets us. The shepherd pursues us. He finds us. He walks with us. He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And as we transition to the second half of this psalm, we see that being a follower of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not exempt you from trouble. If you are in Christ, if you are in the fold, you are not exempt from trouble and hardship. If you don't believe me, look at verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." During our lifetime, we will most certainly face a variety of trials and trouble. We may be subject to great pain, subject to great sadness. And this is a harsh reality that many of us know all too well. Some of you might recall that it was exactly a year ago when I received the news that my mother only had a few weeks left to live. And so as my beloved congregation, you released me, you permitted me to fly back to Niagara Falls, Canada, where I was at my mother's bedside for the last 4 weeks of her earthly life. Now, without going into detail, I can assure you that the 4 weeks that I was with my dying mother, it was a very, very dark valley. It was the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, I can also tell you that my experience with God during this time, my relationship with God during this dark valley, was nothing short of profound. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." The Good Shepherd promises to never leave your side. It's an interesting principle in the Christian life. It's an interesting principle that our intimacy with God is at its best when our circumstances are at their worst. That's what the Bible teaches. And as recently as last year, that is my experience. That our intimacy with God is at its best when our circumstances are at their very worst. Here's what I also want you to notice. And I've had people who've memorized this psalm, who know this psalm frontwards and backwards, not pick up on this very subtle shift in the language of King David as he writes this psalm. I want you to notice that up until this point, in the first half of the psalm, David speaks in the third person when he talks about God. He speaks in the third person when he talks about God. He maketh me lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Third person. But here in verse 4, there's a change. David switches to the more intimate second person. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, when David is at ease, when things are favorable, David talks about God. But when David is in trouble, when things are at their worst, David talks to God. I want you to consider how your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you talk about God? Is He a subject to be studied and analyzed? Or do you talk to God? Is He your refuge and strength? Is He your very present help in times of trouble? Do you talk about God or do you talk to God? Because the Good Shepherd provides for His sheep in the most trying of circumstances. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Here the image transitions to that of a dinner host. So no longer is God the good shepherd for His sheep, but the image is that God is a dinner host. And what is provided by the Lord is described by David in terms associated with the best kind of host, a first-class host. That is, you can see nothing can deter the host from providing for his guest. How many times have we had to cancel on someone? I'm sorry, we wanted to have you for dinner on such and such a day, but this came up, we have to cancel. Nothing can deter this host from providing for his guest. No event, no circumstance will compel him to reschedule. Accordingly, the table is prepared in the presence of enemies. The reference to oil is noteworthy. In the ancient times, you may know that oil was commonly applied to one's head and one's face for its soothing qualities. Oil has a unique capacity to make a person feel refreshed. And the cup which is offered, you'll see, does not come from a stingy host. I've told, I think, a couple of times, if you're pouring my brother-in-law a drink, you pour him a drink, and he'll say, what happened to the other half of the glass? He wants to know why you only poured the glass half full. He wants to know why I am a stingy host. The Lord, our good shepherd, is not a stingy host. Our cup overflows at His table. Our cup runneth over in His presence. So you see, the good shepherd accompanies his sheep in trouble, not simply as a sympathetic comforter. He is that. He sympathizes with us. He walks with us. He comforts us. But He's more than us. He's also the generous provider. And the psalm pictures the good shepherd giving us more than bare necessity. You know, how often have we prayed, Lord, give us this day our daily bread? What are we doing? We're praying for bare necessities. And that's good. That's the way Jesus instructed us to pray. But how often does God give us so much more? My God shall supply all my needs, but it's needs according to His riches in glory. And because our needs are met according to His riches and according to His glory, what we inevitably find is that our cup is overflowing. The good shepherd is marked by lavish generosity. And finally, David concludes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here we see that the blessings of God are not limited to the past, nor are they limited to the future. Goodness and mercy follows God's people all the days of their life. And then when our days on this earth come to an end, we have this assurance of possessing an eternal home. And that should affect the way we live our life day to day. If the Good Shepherd is always walking with us, leading us on the path of righteousness, if goodness and mercy have been with us all the days of our life, if there is a mansion in glory with your name on it, why do we not contemplate heaven more than we do? Why are you probably a lot like me? And your mind is so settled on the here and now. Your mind is in the present. You live for the day, and I do not contemplate heaven's joys as much as I ought to, which is strange. It's strange that I do not think about heaven more than I do, because heaven will be so much better than this. We know that. We may even say that, but I'm not certain our lives and our lifestyles reflect that. Do you truly believe that eternity in heaven will be a lot better than this? Because if you do, it should affect the way you live today. The God we engage now by faith, we will engage face to face when we're in heaven. The holy and majestic God that we seek here today will be fully revealed in glory. Now I realize as I say all this, for some of you, heaven seems like a very distant reality. It may seem to some to be a distant reality in terms of years, because some of you in this room are not very old. You're doing the math, you're thinking about statistics and average lifespans, and so you're thinking, I've got a lot of life still to be lived. And so thoughts of heaven are for some of you a very distant reality because of your age. But for others, thoughts of heaven may be a distant reality because there's a huge gap between the way you live now and the way we will live in heaven. The reason why heaven seems like such a distant reality to some is because there's nothing we're doing on earth resembling what we will do in heaven. What I want you to see is that this life is our training ground for heaven. Now, I can't help but think of a sports metaphor. We have a basketball team here. It's hockey season back in Canada. And before you have the regular season, you have the what? You have the preseason. I want you to know that this life is not the main tournament. This is the pre-game warm-up. This is the shoot-around. This is the game that doesn't count in the standings. The real game is still to come. This life is our training ground for heaven. And heaven is all about God and His glory. It's all about God and His glory. The focus in heaven is worship. Now, I don't want to say the focus in heaven is a worship service, because some of you will think of parts of a worship service that you don't like, and then you will begin to imagine that you won't like heaven, because it'll mean the parts that you don't like here or other places might be in heaven. No. Worship will be unlike anything you've ever experienced here. Here is a foretaste. Here is an appetizer. Here is a glimpse of something far greater. Our singular focus in heaven will be the intimate and eternal adoration of the one true God. And what we're doing now in this life is we're preparing for that, so that it's not a strange thing to be intimate with God. It's not a strange thing to commune with our God, because you'll have done it all the days of your life. Here's what I've observed, and this may not be true of you, but it might be. Too often, our quest for recreation overrides our quest for righteousness. That's just my basic observation. Not simply of the average human being, but my observation of the average professing Christian. That our quest for recreation is pursued with much greater passion and zeal than our quest for righteousness. When clearly our first priority ought to be to walk with the Good Shepherd, to walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do this, we'll be able to say, surely goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We talk about God's provision all the time. I hope you know what God's greatest provision is. God's greatest provision is Himself. God's greatest provision is His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His greatest provision is His indwelling Spirit. His greatest provision is Himself. Let's not miss out on God's all-satisfying provision because we are chasing a life of ease, chasing a life of temporary luxury. What Psalm 23 teaches is that the Good Shepherd is all we need. It teaches, essentially, that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough for you, and He is enough for me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, ever. Amen.